Well, thank you for having me. It's a big blessing to come and see the church because, like Roger said, I've only been here once, so I hear a lot about you guys from Dad and Mum, so it's really nice to be around. But yeah, I'm really excited to share this talk with you guys because it's actually something, a message that I felt God put on my heart a good few months ago when I knew I was going to be coming here, and I felt Him just say, save this. This is, like, ponder on this for a while, but this is for you guys, so really excited. And I just want to start off by saying, let's have a conversation about sin. Because I think so often in the church, when we talk about sin, it's accompanied by a couple of feelings, and I want to stop us before we go there. Because often we start feeling shame, and that feeling of, oh, I feel like I need to isolate myself. I want to kind of get away from things. Which I think is okay, because I think that's very human nature for us to do. And if you go back to Genesis, you see it's the first thing that we do, that humans do ever when they sin, is they look at each other and realize they're naked and feel shameful, and then they hide from God and they want to isolate themselves from God. So it is very human nature for us to get there, but I think we can really break these off, because it can be quite dangerous when, instead of talking about things, if we let shame and the need to isolate ourselves take control. And the Bible, it's riddled with these verses that actually say the opposite of what shame does. And it says that we're not our sin. We're not these horrible people. We're not sinners in that sense. In fact, it says we're sinners saved by grace. And I just got a few, and I challenge you to go and find 10 more or so, because it's throughout the whole Bible. So let's just say a few. Literally, Romans 8 will say there's no condemnation. Romans 8:1, there's no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. And we can move on to 2 Corinthians 5:17. It says, therefore we're a new creation. The old has passed away, the new has come. 1 Peter 2:9 says that it actually calls us a royal priesthood. It says that we're God's chosen people, and that we're here to proclaim the excellence of the one who called us out of darkness. Now, if we're not in darkness anymore, so if we're out of it, it means we're not in it, which means we're not people of darkness, but we're people of light. And these are just amazing verses. We've got another one, Galatians 2:20. For I have been crucified with Christ, and it's no longer I who lives, but Him who lives in me. And these are just a quick explanation of how we're not having to worry about sin. We're not having to worry about the shame that comes with it, because that's not how Christ sees us. That's not how God sees us. And if we can kind of walk away from the conversation of shame and guilt and all those feelings, we can actually go on to a bit of a hope piece. And I think this is really fun. And I think it's something that the enemy gets a little scared about when we start talking about hope, especially when it's surrounded by sin. Because what I've found and what I've seen in this in a verse that we just got from our Old Testament reading was that whenever there's sin, whenever there's a chance to sin, there's so many more opportunities not to. Because I think God doesn't set us up to fail. He doesn't say, here's sin, good luck. He says, here's sin, but here's 20 different opportunities to not sin, to walk away and do something in the opposite. He didn't say to Adam and Eve, here's a tree, don't eat it, you're going to be hungry. He says, here's a tree, don't eat it, but here's another tree, here's another tree. In fact, here's a garden full of trees you can eat for. And if you look at that for the metaphor, it could be, is if eating from a tree is sin, then God gave Adam and Eve so many different opportunities to not sin. So if we use this as an example, we see that actually not sinning is fairly easy. It's just a choice. It's just a choice to say, I choose God and not what the enemy has to offer me. Which is really nice when I say that. And you think, oh, if only if it was that easy. Because we all know it's not that easy. And actually, it's a choice, and it's something that we battle with in our day-to-day on in everything. And I really was starting to rack my brain with that. Why is it so hard to choose God? The person who we know, the creator of the universe, the person we know is the most loving savior, creator, everything. He's like, we sing it in our worship. He's like, you are amazing, you know? We say it all the time, but we still choose the plans that the enemy has instead. Someone who we know notoriously has a bad rep. Notoriously, it doesn't want our best. And we choose what he has to offer. And I really, really was something that probably why God gave me this kind of inspiration a few months ago, because I had to really rack my brain and really spend some time figuring out why that is. And I think it comes back to a simple understanding of trust. I think it's that we don't always trust God. We don't always trust that what he says is good for us. We don't trust that when he says, you've heard it of old, don't murder, but actually I tell you more, don't look at your brother in anger. Because if you look at him in anger, you're liable to judgment. We don't look at that as that's for our best interest. We don't look at that as he's telling me not to be angry because it's a better condition for my heart. We look at it as if, great, another rule. But it's because we don't fully trust him. And you look at this, it's actually one of the first things that the enemy attacks in the story of a fool. If you look, go across to Genesis 3, the first verse of Genesis 3, well, the enemy, he starts attacking that idea in Eve. He starts attacking her trust in God. He goes, did he really say don't eat of that tree? Is that actually what he said? And Eve, credit to Eve, we can sometimes give her a hard time. She started off strong. She said, No. We're not eating from that tree because God said we'll die. And again, the enemy, verse 3, says, he didn't say, you're not going to die. That's not true. He kind of goes as far as calling God a liar. He says, no, you won't die. He's just scared that you're going to become like him. And he just, through that, he starts attacking Eve's trust in God. And there you see that breakdown that made the opportunity to sin opposed to the opportunity to do good became so much harder for Eve. And I was thinking, how can I represent this? How can I show this in an easier form? And I was thinking, is there someone here who has a nice car or drove here today? Anyone here drove here today? Yeah? What was your name?
Vanessa.
Vanessa. Could I borrow your car keys? You sure? And I can just take your car for a spin? Vanessa's too trusting. Anyone else? You wouldn't let me drive your car, would you? No. Why not? Okay. Yeah, that's a fair point. Mum,
yes.
Can I borrow your car keys and take your car for a drive?
Yeah, you've already got them.
Yeah? You see? What's the difference there? Is there's a knowledge, you know? My mum knows that I'm a good driver. Well, I claim that I'm a great driver. My mum knows like I'm capable. But not only there, my mum actually knows I'm insured on her car. I can legally drive her car. Lots of you don't, Vanessa doesn't even know I have a driving license or not. Very trusting. You know, there's knowledge. And I looked into this, and Psalm 9:10 says, to those who know your name, trust in your ways. And for word they use here, if you look up, there's an amazing tool called the Strong's Dictionary. I can't remember the full name. It's Strong's Dictionary something. And each word has a reference, and you can go actually find what the meaning was in the original language. So in Hebrew, the word to know, and I'm going to butcher the pronunciation, but it's yada, I think. I'm getting a nod. And that is used completely differently to how we used to know. Many of you, if you were asked, do you know Jack, would go, yeah, I know Jack. He's Max's son. He's preached at the church a few times. But reality is, if you were asked back when this was written, do you know Jack, you would say, no, I don't know Jack. Because yada means to have a personal relationship, to know intimately. And so my mom is able to say, yes, I know Jack very well. And that's what this is talking about. So if you know God intimately, it's saying, if you can know him, you can trust him. And it makes a lot of sense, actually. My mom trusts, she knows me, she trusts I can drive a car. Many of you don't know me and would go, no chance at all, stay away from my car. And you do check your little pockets to see if you have your keys still. I was thinking on this. So how do we build trust with God? How do we build that relationship, that yada, that intimate relationship with God? Because most of us would say we have a relationship with God, I assume. Most of us would say that we know him. But do we know him intimately? And that's what I really want to come after today, is do we have an intimate relationship with God? So many of the students who come out to YWAM are so blown away because in a 6 month period, they get to know God in such a deeper level. So many of them coming out, much like myself, thinking we have an amazing relationship with God. We are doing pretty well in our faith, and then realize, oh gosh, I have so much to learn. I have so much to grow. And what I love is the concept of getting to know God in a deeper level is not something that is daunting. It's not something that's like, oh no, I'm not where I was. It's, oh my goodness, there's so much more to my God. There's so much more to my Savior that I get to learn. I get to delve into. So I want to talk to you guys about how to build that deeper relationship with God. Because my personal opinion is coming to church on a Sunday is an amazing start. But if God had only one day a week in store for us when he created the world, personally, I would be a little let down. I want him 7 days a week, right? I want to be walking with him in all things that I do. So I'm going to start off. I've got a few little ways that I want to challenge you guys to kind of delve into. And the first one is this wonderful book right here. And if you haven't read the whole Bible from start to finish, it's very easy to not know or get misconstrued for the character and nature of God, who he is. And we actually do a whole week's lecture on the character and the nature of God, looking at it from a biblical concept in YWAM, because we hear so many different things, so many conflicting things. And one of the things I hear most about the Bible that drives me crazy when I hear about God is saying there's the God of the Old Testament, and he's this vengeful, wrathful God, and then there's the God of the New Testament who's a loving Savior. And it drives me crazy because in one of my schools, we read the whole Bible, start to finish, in 3 months. And we read it in chronological order, the way it was written. And the biggest thing I could say I learned about God there was he's so consistent. And that the whole Bible, to me, is this narrative of God loving a people so much that he tried everything in his all he could to set them up to succeed, to set them up to the moment where Jesus died on the cross for them so we can have a personal relationship. Yes, there are other things in there that we get confused about, and you know, that's when we need to sit down over a cup of tea and actually talk that through. But the biggest narrative I see in that is he's saying, these are my people and I'm going to get them to the day on the cross where Jesus can make the sacrifice for them. And to me, that shows so much about who God is, so much about his character and nature. And it's like, well, there's 52 books in the Bible. If you can learn one thing from each book about God, that's 52 things that you didn't know beforehand, right? And that's just amazing to me. And I'm hoping I'm getting that number right. I hope 52 is the right one. And the second thing is just a prayer life, developing your prayer life. It's something that it can be a touchy subject sometimes because there isn't one way to pray. And so many, there's one way that we might gravitate towards. There might be one way that we find we connect better with. But that might be completely different from a person sitting next to you. But something I want to discuss with you guys about is actually looking at prayer as an open invitation to a conversation. And I don't know about you, but my friends and me would have a really naff relationship is if all I talked to them about was, can you do this for me? Can you do that? This sucks. I'm so grumpy with this person. I'm so upset. Oh, holy are you? I'm so upset. You know, if it was only so split between me talking at them and then once in a while saying they're so good and then come talking at them again, it would be so superficial, so fake. There would be no yada. There'd be no intimate relationship in that. And I've recently started trying a thing where I ask God to ask me questions. So I'll say, God, let's have some time together. I'm opening up to you. Ask me some questions and I'll answer them. And so many of the questions I feel he says to me, I'm like, you know this. You're the God of the universe who sees everything. You know this. But that's not yada. That's not an intimate relationship when I just assume He knows everything. That's poor communication. So, and I learned that he really loves hearing that from me. And not alone in that, but actually having conversation with him on the lines of, this is a really beautiful day. This is a really good book that I'm reading. This cup of coffee I have in front of me is delicious. You would love it, God. Starting to have conversations with him that you would with your friend, you know? I was challenged by God recently, about 4 months ago, to start making my relationship with him not just about churchy things and things that I would say are holy or things that I would say are of him, but actually just bring him into everything that kind of is pleasing, anything to me that brings me joy. So I've started that, and anyone who knows me knows that I love coffee. I'm a big coffee fan, not on a level where I drink like 10 cups a day, which I just think that's a caffeine fan, but on a level of I love the process of making coffee. I will go so far that I have 6 different ways to make coffee in my house, and all of which I'll use once in a while because I just love a different process. But I'll weigh the bean amount out. I'll weigh, should I go from here? Okay. I'll weigh out the beans of coffee, the grams. I'll weigh out the grams of water. I'll measure the temperature of my water. I'll then grind my coffee to a specific level of coarsity. Then I'll time how long it takes me. I aim for 3 minutes, and then I'll taste it. And I try it, and I go, oh, is that bringing out the fruity flavors I want? Is that bringing out the flavors I want? No. Okay, go back to the chalking board. Change the amount of coffee, change the amount of water, and I'll do it. And I really love the process. And that's, you know, if you don't know me, well, now you know I love coffee. But it really takes in like 10 minutes of a conversation for me to start talking about coffee. And that's like the tip of it. If you want to talk more about coffee, we can have a good few hour conversation. But it's like, why would God not want to hear about that? Why would God not want to hear about my love for coffee, my fascination with it? Why would he not want to be involved? And really, there's no reason. Because if he didn't want to know the areas of my heart, the areas of my life that I loved, then what we sing about him, what we declare about him, it would be fake, would not be true. But the fact that we have a loving God means he wants to know that. And that's really powerful. And I want to challenge you guys to go about this next few weeks and try this out. And if it works, that's amazing. If it doesn't work, then, you know, we can have another conversation about it. But start treating God like someone you're just developing a relationship with. Think of it as if you and I were just starting to get to know each other, what would be the process you would go through? We start telling little bits about ourselves. We talk about our families. We talk about our jobs or our passions or our hobbies. And we'd go to get coffee. We'd go for walks. Things that would actually be a really enjoyable start to a friendship. Start doing that with God. Start next time you take your dog for a walk, start off by saying, God, would you like to come on a dog walk with me? And the fun thing about God is he never says no on that. He always wants to go out with you. He always wants to spend time with you because that's just in his nature. That's just who he is. He just wants to know you. We have a speaker who comes teaches our students, and he goes as far as saying, go to a coffee shop and order 2 coffees and put one across from you and act as if you're having coffee with God. And the best thing about that is God is so giving that often when I do that, he gives me his cup of coffee too. but I really want to challenge you guys. If you start digging into these 3 little things I said about, look into your words, start praying to him, not just in a place of need and necessity, but out of just conversation with your friend, and start doing things that bring you life, bring you joy as well with him. Yes, read your Bible. Yes, pray with him. Yes, come to the Sunday services. Yes, do all these things that we count as spiritual, we count as religious. But start involving him in your day-to-day, your everyday things. And it's going to change. It's really going to deepen your relationship with God. But as I'm wrapping up, as I'm kind of winding down, you're probably being a little puzzled because I said at the beginning of this talk that I want to talk about sin. And I haven't really talked too much about sin. But if we backtrack to the beginning, in a reverse order, you're going to see something that I think is going to be really powerful. So you've built your relationship with God. You start knowing him. You start having yada to know him. You start knowing him on an intimate level. that builds, that naturally builds trust. You're going to build trust with God. And when you trust him, when the enemy comes up and says to you, it's time to sin. It's time, like, you know, it's time to open that up on your computer again. It's time to get angry at your friend. It's time to swear and cuss at the person in the traffic. It's time to, you know, whatever. It's time to do this, that, whatever. You're going to see, start recognizing God's voice. Start recognizing his opportunities not to sin. And it's going to be 10 times easier for you to say, actually, you haven't got my best interest in for me, but my God in heaven, who's given me all these trees around me, all these different opportunities not to sin, I'm going to choose that. And that's my challenge for you guys. You're going to, if you go after these things, you're going to see that it's so much easier not to sin through this process. So that's me. That's what I felt God put on my heart to talk to you guys about. And if it's okay with you guys, I'll just wrap up in prayer. So if you guys just want to close your eyes for me. Lord, we thank you that you're such an awesome God, that your way out of not sinning, your way out of not making the bad decisions is following you, is loving you, is getting to know you better, to have a more intimate relationship with you. And it just talks about who you are as a God. It just talks about how personal you are, Lord. And I pray that these next few weeks, these next even days, Lord, that we can start implicating some of the stuff that that we've talked about today, Lord. So we can start reading our Bible. We can start just being in communion with you, Lord. And Lord, we invite you into all the things that we love, in the things that bring us joy. And we want to talk to you about it. We want to see your heart for it as well. And pray that through this process, Lord, we can just build that trust with you that is unshakable, that when the enemy comes up and says, did he really say not to eat that fruit? We can say, yes, now go away. I don't want to have anything to do with you. Lord, we thank you for who you are, for your heart for us. And thank you for this Sunday. In the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.